Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, Isaiah 41, in your Scofield Bible, page 748. We'll be reading the first seven verses of this chapter, and we'll read the verses responsively. The text verse is the last verse, that seventh verse of the 41st chapter of Isaiah. As is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first and with the last. I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. And let's read the seventh together also. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the precious time of the Lord's Supper. And now for that time in the morning service, when we hear that word, we anticipate thy speaking to our hearts. We pray that you'd give us attentiveness and help us to listen on purpose to the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listening, we need to remind you of this because you may be a little worried when it's 23 minutes to 12 and I'm just getting up to bring an hour and a half message. It may discourage you a little bit. But I always, on the Lord's Supper morning, remind you that I will be finished preaching no later than 12:10. And you may not worry about that. I always keep that promise, except for those times I do not keep it. But those of you who are members here know that that's kept. That promise is kept. I will be finished preaching by 12:10. I may give you back a minute or two. I may not, but it'll not be 12:11. It'll be by 12:10. And you'll be on your way home by 12:30. We always dismiss our service by 12:30. We're baptizing. We stop baptizing, and we dismiss the service and then let you go ahead. We finish baptizing after you're gone. Now, I want you to set up straight. I want you to look right this way. I want you to forget your whispering, your talking. I want you to forget all the activities of the week and the plans for the next week. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, everybody's having a tough time. I used to go off the broadcast every morning for 25 years or more. I said the same thing. I said, goodbye, God bless you, and don't forget, be good to everybody, because everybody is having a tough time. And everybody is having a tough time. Because of that, my text is, so the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with a hammer encouraged him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Father, bless our message this morning to the hearts of thy people. And may I have the attention now of all the people, that I may be able to encourage their hearts. I believe I can through thy book. Give me that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. The word encourage means to urge forward. When a football team is playing, and the stands, people on the stands are cheering, They are encouraging the team to move forward. It means to stimulate one to do what he can do. Now, I want you to listen very carefully as I lay the foundation for what I'm going to say this morning. The story here deals with the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the wall around the city of Jerusalem following the captivity in Babylon. The truth is, and the interesting thing about it is, this chapter is written before that captivity even started. But in prophecy, God has Isaiah look down to the end of the captivity, assuring the people that the captivity will end. And this is a post-captivity verse. As the people are rebuilding that giant wall around the city of Jerusalem and rebuilding that place most sacred to them, that temple. And it says, when they did that, they encouraged each other. It said that the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. Now, if the word encourage means to urge forward, that means the carpenter said to the goldsmith, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. You can do it. You can do it. And the goldsmith said to the carpenter, keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. You can do it. You can do it. That's what encouragement is. Consequently, I can see these people as they are rebuilding this temple and rebuilding the wall around the city. Bear in mind that they had been gone. They've been gone for 70 years. It's a new generation practically come back. And the city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The wall was leveled, and these people had an unbelievable task before them. And they had the enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, and the enemies, as we always have, people that don't want to see God's work move forward. And they were discouraging them and trying to cause them to quit building the temple. And so, as the workers would build, the carpenter would say to the plumber, hey boy, keep on plumbing now, keep on plumbing, keep on going, don't stop. We got to get this thing built. And the plumber would say to the carpenter, you keep on pounding those nails now. Keep on going. Don't quit. You keep on going. That's what encouragement's all about. And then the mason would say to the plumber, now you keep on going. And the plumber would say to the mason, keep on laying that stone now. Keep on going. Keep on doing it. You can do it. I believe in you. I know you can. And then the plumber would say to the painter, keep on splashing that paint now. Keep on painting. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. But we've got to build this temple. We've got to build this wall. Keep on painting. And the painter would turn around and say to the plumber, you keep on plumbing. And the carpenter would say to the painter, you keep on painting. And the painter would say to the carpenter, you keep on driving those nails now. And the blacksmith would say to the carpenter, you keep on driving the nails. And the carpenter would say to the blacksmith, you keep on sharpening our instruments now. And on and on. That's the way it went. It says that they encouraged each other. Now, let me tell you something, folks. We're all stuck down here on this old planet. A little ball going around and around in space. We don't know much about where we are, where we came from, or what we're doing here. And the truth is, most of us do not know less than we know, and we've got to encourage each other. Everybody's having a tough time. Your wife's having a tough time. She doesn't need your scolding. She needs your encouragement. Your husband's having enough time. He doesn't need your nagging. He needs your encouragement. Your kid's having a tough time. He doesn't need your misunderstanding. He needs your understanding. And God is saying here that all of us ought to say to each other all the time, keep on going. Keep on going. That's what preaching's all about. That's what I'm up here for, is to say to you, keep on going. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can graduate. Oh, yes, you can support your family. Oh, yes, you can make it. Oh, yes, you can carry your burden. Oh, yes, you can carry your load. Oh, yes, you can. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Don't quit. That's what I'm up here for. You encourage me not to quit. I encourage you not to quit. And so they encouraged each other. And that's the story. Now, apply that story here. It means that the college students say to the high school students, keep on going, keep on going. And the high school students say to the college folks, keep on going. You can do it. You got what it takes now. Keep on going. It means the preacher says to the staff, okay, fellas, keep on going now. Don't turn back. You can do it. Whatever the job is, you can do it. And you guys say to me, preacher, we believe in you. We believe you can do it. You keep on going. And the parents say to the child, children, son, daughter, keep on going now. You got what it takes. I know you can. And the children say to mom and dad, keep on going now. I know you can. I believe in you. And they encourage each other.
And the husband says to his wife, keep on going now, keep on going. I believe you can. Fix me good meals. I believe you, I believe you can. Treat me better. And keep on going now, keep on going. And the wife says to the husband, keep on going. Don't come back. Keep on going. Keep on going now. I believe you can. You're a great guy. You're the best guy in the whole world. You're the best looking guy in the whole world. You're the most muscular guy in the world. Here I go describing myself again. You keep on going now. Don't turn back. Keep on going, honey. I believe you can. That's what it means here. And so the Bible says we're to encourage each other. That means a brother is supposed to say to the sister, now, sis, you keep on going. And the sis says, now, brother, you keep on going. And the drive-in crowd says to the bus people, you keep on. You can make it. You sure can. You can someday come out of those ghettos, and you can be something for God. And God can use you. You don't wear the clothes we wear now, but someday you can. Keep on going. And the bus kids say to the drive-in crowd, you keep on going. We need you. We got to have you. You got to pay for these buses and keep these buses going. Keep on going now. That's what it says. And the English-speaking says to the Spanish-speaking, keep on going, keep on going. And the Spanish people say to the English people, muchos enchiladas y tamales, and so forth. But the idea is, we keep on going. And the deaf say to the hearing, keep on going. And the hearing say to the deaf, keep on going. And the blind say to the seeing, keep on going. And the seeing say to the blind, you keep on going. I know you can. Now, wait a minute. There's a bit of selfishness here. That selfishness is this. If I can't keep you going, you can't keep me going. So the selfishness is, I've got to keep you going so you can keep me going. The truth is, now somebody's saying right now, boy, I wish somebody would encourage me. Nobody ever will. Because you don't get encouraged by wanting to get encouraged. You keep your encourager encouraged, then your encourager will encourage you. I'm saying that there's selfishness here. You keep me going so I can keep you going. That's the way it is. You need me every week to get up here and tell you, you can, you can, you can, you can, you can. And I need you to keep putting those notes on my door saying, you can, you can, you can, you can. You write me notes and say, preacher, don't quit now, preacher. Don't turn back. You know why? Because you need me up here to tell you not to turn back. So you encourage me and I encourage you across the country where I travel these days. I walk out and preachers look at me like you'd look at the corpse and see if he's okay. And they watch me as I walk out. They want to see if I'm still breathing after all the battles I've been through. And they look at me, and all of a sudden, I'll come out and I'll smile, or I'll say something a little funny. As you know, I'm very, very humorous. I'll say something a little funny, and boy, they just, everything's okay. And they write, listen, I've got preachers who write me every week. Every week. I know a dozen preachers write me every week. Why? Because they got to have me to keep them going. So if they have me to keep them going, they got to keep me going. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I need you and you need me. You need to encourage me. I need to encourage you. I keep on going because you keep me going so I can keep you going. And if you don't keep me going, I won't keep you going. I'll show you. But that's God's plan. And that's why I said, that's the plumber said to the carpenter, keep on going now. He encouraged it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And the carpenter said, so can you. But brother, keep on going. We've got to get this thing built. We've got to get this wall built. We've got to get this temple built. We've got to get this church built. We've got to get these bus routes built. We've got to get our lives lived. We've got to serve God. And so, you keep on going. And that's what you do to me. And that's what I do to you. And that little girl who meets me every Sunday morning with her daddy. When I get here, between 7:30 and 8, every Sunday morning, she's there, cute as pie. Dad's a little bit ugly, but the little girl's cute as pie. They meet me there. And she brings me a little glass of orange juice every Sunday morning. First thing when I walk in the office, before I get to my office, in the waiting room, she's waiting there. Cute little precious girl. What's she doing? She and her mommy and daddy are trying to keep Brother Howells going. They're trying to encourage me so I can get up here in the pulpit and encourage them. And that little girl sings every Sunday morning to me, bright in the corner where you are, bright in the corner where you are. Another little girl sings, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm the Lord. She sings, here am I, Lord, every Sunday morning. Now what's she doing? She's encouraging her preacher. She's saying, preacher, you can keep going. You can keep going. You can keep going. And on and on, over and over again in this church. I'll walk out after a while, and there'll be a little boy waiting at the bottom of the steps there. He'll hug me and encourage me. And I'll go a little further, and there'll be a little boy and a little girl there. And they'll be up on the hat rack, and I'll count to three. And they'll jump off, and I'll catch them. And I'll turn around on the right side. There'll be a couple there with a different kind of a cheese cracker every Sunday. A different kind of a cheese cracker. And I want to say this morning, keep those cheese crackers rolling in, folks. And every Sunday morning. Now, why are they there? They're there because they want to encourage their preacher. But now there's something selfish about that. And there's nothing wrong with it. A holy selfishness. They're there because they want to encourage me. Now, why do they want to encourage me? Because they need to hear what I'm saying right now. And they need me to encourage them. So if you keep me going, so I can keep you going, so you can keep me going, so I can keep you going. I don't keep you going, I won't get any cheese crackers. I won't get any orange juice. And no, I could tell you, listen, I could tell you so many things. Every week brings me taller bottles of cold drinks. 2 liters. I get one of those every Sunday. Diet Dr. Pepper. I starve on Monday, but on Sunday I get one of those. And on. I could tell you, one little child always gives me a candy bar. And out in the alley after I get through, somebody will be out there, two or three little children out there, and they'll meet the preacher. Now, what are you saying? They're saying this, and you're saying this. You're saying, we love our preacher. We got to keep our preacher going. Why? Because our preacher keeps us going. Isn't that a wonderful way? I need you. You need me. I encourage you. You encourage me. I keep you going. You keep me going. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying everybody is having a tough time, and nobody needs criticism, and nobody needs gossip, and nobody needs slander, and nobody needs negatives, and nobody needs to be hurt, and nobody needs bawlings out, and nobody needs unkindness. Be good to everybody, because everybody is having a tough time. Encouraging each other. Now, several things about the encourage. In the first place, encourage yourself. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, we won't turn to it, but it said that David encouraged himself. What does that mean? David said, come on, David, keep on going. One reason some of you don't make it, you don't encourage yourself. When the alarm goes off in the morning, I say to myself, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get up, Jack. Jack says, don't think so. But I say, oh, yes. I call myself Jack. That's my name. And I call myself, that's why I call myself Jack, because it is my name. And I say, get up, Jack. Get up, Jack. And finally, I get up and I sit beside the bed for a while. And I say, come on, rest the way. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And so I get myself up. Encourage yourself. I get up and I look back at the bed. And I say, stay up, Jack. Stay up, Jack. Stay up, Jack. Stay up. Stay up. I encourage myself. I get ready to preach in another state on a Monday night sometimes, and I'm tired. I want to stay home, especially if certain things on television on Monday night, you throw a big ball like that, you kick it like that, and I'm too tired. I say to myself, Jack, you got to keep on going. You encourage yourself. I look at the bus kids at Baptist City down here. I know how old I am. I'm 64. I'll be 65 my next birthday. I caught it just like that. But I'm 64 years old. I know what that means. I know what you're supposed to do when you're 65. You're supposed to re-enlist when you're 65. But I know what you're supposed to do. And I get a little weary. But look at those bus kids. And I said, Jack, you got to keep going. You got to keep that school open down there. I mean, those bus kids need you. Jack, you've got to keep on going. Arizona, you're going to have to wait. Florida, you're going to have to wait. Shuffleboard, you're going to have to wait. I mean, I'm not going to go down and join those guys in Florida who spend their older years pushing a disc down a piece of concrete and watching their wives' varicose veins enlarge. I'm not going to do that. I say to myself, you got to keep going. There's some bus kids that need you. You got to keep going. There's some high school students over here in the public schools that need you. You got to keep going. I say to myself, come on, Jack. Come on, Jack. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I look at the City Baptist kids. I look at the Our kids at Baptist City, I drive through the campus out there, see our high school, our grade school, our junior high school, and I realize that I hold most of that thing on my shoulders, and especially the finances of it. If I don't get the money, we don't keep it going. I got to keep it going. And I say to myself, you got to keep going. Those kids need you. You can retire when you're 95, but you can't retire right now. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. Listen, it's time you quit. But I just can't make it another step. You're supposed to encourage yourself, not discourage yourself. You're supposed to say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Encourage yourself. I look at the college students, those young men whom I believe with all my heart, the hope for America. And I look at those young ladies who I believe with all my heart, the hope of those young men. And I say to myself, Jack, you got to keep going. Now, the first one of you guys says, Jack, you got to keep going. You've had it. You know that, don't you? But you said, Brother Howard, you got to keep going. But preacher. But I said, Jack, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to do it. You can't quit. You can't stop. You can't rest. You can't turn back. I look at the families here in the church I pastor. Every once in a while, the last week, I really believe I helped a family. I really do. I believe Friday afternoon, I believed I helped a marriage. And after I finished that appointment, our daughter Cindy, it was her 31st birthday, and I took her out and bought her some clothes. And as I walked out, Cindy said to me, she said, Daddy, I thought you were crying. I saw tears in your eyes when you came in. And I said, Puddin', I believe I just helped a marriage. I believe I did. I believe that the husband and wife are going to be happier with each other from now on than they were. I wish you knew the joy of that. I wish you knew the joy of looking out at a sea of faces like this and seeing people by the hundreds you counsel with, and by the grace of God, they're still together because you counsel with them. I'm simply saying, I look at the families in the church and I say to myself, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. Encourage yourself. I look at the deaf back here and say, I got to keep going. I look at the blind folks and say, I got to keep going. I look at the sunbeams and pathfinders and say, I got to keep going. I look at these mission men up here and say, I've got to keep going. I'm simply saying, I look at my staff, these young men on my staff who look to me for leadership and also salary. And I say, I got to keep going. I look at the college faculty and the high school faculty and the junior high and the grade school and City Baptist faculty. And I say to myself, Jack, you got to keep going. You cannot rest. You cannot stop. You got to keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time you quit discouraging yourself and encourage yourself for a while. Say to yourself, by crack, I'm sorry, amen, I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. And by God's grace, I will. Encourage yourself. Number two, encourage each other. Encourage each other. Isaiah 41:7, read a while ago our text. Plumber said to the carpenter, carpenter said to the goldsmith, you can do it, and you can do it. Encourage each other. Encourage that person that calls you wife. Encourage that lady that calls you husband. What kind of a spirit you got? Years ago, I was pastoring in Texas. I had an evangelist in our church in Texas. His name was Tom Landers. Not Tom Landry. He was even more important than an evangelist. But Tom Landers. Tom came over here to the First Southern Baptist Church in Hammond. We're talking about mid-1950s. And preached a revival meeting, the church over here on Hoffman Street. Preached a revival. And Tom came back and he said, Brother House, could I take you out to eat lunch? We went to Harris Restaurant in Garland where I was pastoring. He sat across the table and he said, Brother Hiles, I just got back from a town in called Hammond, Indiana. It was wintertime. He said, I feel so sorry for those people up there. I don't know what to do. He said, they get up in the morning, it's already dark, it's still dark. They go out in those steel mills, they fight traffic, go out in those steel mills and work in those steel mills all day long. By the time they get through working, it's already dark, and it's zero and below zero and snow on the ground, just like it's going to be in a few hours right now. And Brother Hiles, with your bright, optimistic outlook on life, the way you enjoy life, He said, if I could get you an appointment up there, would you go to Hammond, Indiana and spend 2 weeks? He said, I believe you could cheer those people up there in that area. I don't think there's anybody in America, preacher, that could encourage and cheer those people up in Hammond, Indiana, like you could. I did not know I'd spend 31 years up here. I hope I've encouraged you in 31 years. I hope I've said to you, you can, and you did. I hope I've said to you, keep on going. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. This morning I say to you, that's why I'm behind this pulpit. I don't say don't quit because I don't want you to quit. I say don't quit because I know there's a life to live. You've got things you can do. And I come to encourage you and say, keep on going. Don't quit. We encourage each other. That isn't all. In the Bible, we're admonished to encourage our leaders. Twice God said to Moses, encourage young Joshua. Moses, you're about to pass off the scene now. You encourage Joshua. You've got to tell him to keep on going. Encourage him. And God is saying we ought to encourage our leaders. You know, let me parenthesize here. You know, in America, we're destroying leadership. I mean, we got a wild man over there in Iraq right now that may have his thumb or his finger on an atomic bomb. And our president can see things you and I can't see. And a bunch of little two-bit congressmen and senators are trying to hit his hand while he's trying to lead our country. Brother, if somebody's going to lead, in God's name, let's follow leadership. We ought to be saying to our president, we're for you, we're with you, we're behind you. Most dangerous thing to America today is not Mr. Saddam Hussein, it's the senators, it's Mr. Kennedy in Washington. Encourage your leaders. We're going to these colleges and all of America teaching folks how to critique each other. How to slap the leader's hand. No, sir. No, sir. Listen. When you discourage your leadership, you discourage your encouragement. That's what leadership is there for, to encourage you. I'm simply saying we ought to encourage our leaders. School pupils ought to encourage the principal. School pupils ought to encourage the teacher. Athletes ought to encourage the coach. Young people ought to encourage the youth director. Students ought to encourage the Sunday school teacher. Bus riders ought to encourage the bus captain. I wonder what would happen some week if I walked out here and that little boy was not at the bottom of the steps and those two little kids were not down the hall and that family was not there with the cheese crackers and that man was not out there with his cute little boy. And that little boy was not at the bottom of the steps over there. And nobody came by my office on Saturday morning. No young people came by my office on Saturday morning to tell the preacher they loved him. And no college students ever sang, we love you, preacher. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. And no deacon ever took my hand and patted me on the back and said, preacher, we believe in you. We're behind you 100%. I wonder how far I could make it. I wonder how much I could do. Let me tell you, whatever Brother Howes has done in these years, he's done it because of godly people who've encouraged him. Encourage leadership. Those who lead you, encourage them. And then in 2 Samuel 11:25, we're admonished to encourage others to encourage others. It's our job to encourage you to encourage somebody else. We're to encourage people to encourage people. I wouldn't be here today if my little mama hadn't said to me in the shack of a house, 18 different houses in 18 different years, if my little mama hadn't said to me, son, you can do it. She had a little slogan she used to use, son, the I can is what makes a great man. The I can is what makes a great man. There I was with no shoes for my feet and hardly any clothes for my body and not much food for my stomach. The other kids had shoes and I didn't. The other kids had nice clothes and I didn't. My little mama would look at me and she'd say, son, you're as good as anybody. Nobody's better than you and you're better than nobody else. You're as good as anybody. I wonder where I'd be today if my mama had encouraged me. I wonder where I'd be today if that black man... Somebody told me that Dr. Criswell resigned the First Baptist Church of Hammond after 46 years, I think, 45, 46 years. And I remember the first year he was there. I was a 17-year-old lad working at Dallas Railway Company. Every day at noon, the parts department where I worked,
A black man came from Mack Truck Company, and he was a godly man. We read the Bible and prayed together every day at lunch. And one day he came in crying, and he said to me, he said, and I'm, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not being critical of black people. I'm telling you exactly how this black man talked. He said, Massa Jack, he said, we black folk, he was crying. And I said, why are you crying? He said, we black folks done lost our best friend. I said, what do you mean? He said, Dr. George W. Truett just died. Pastor of the largest church in America. Said Massa Jack, he just died. He said, the Lord done told me you're supposed to take his place. He said, the Lord. I said, you mean pastor of First Baptist Church? He said, no, not that. He said, someday you'll have the biggest church in the world. Someday you'll have the largest Baptist church in America. That black man encouraged me, and God spoke to my heart. And that was the first calling. I had to preach the gospel through that black man. Let me tell you something, folks. Everybody's having a tough time. I go home sometimes at night, and I can hardly control myself for weeping. I mean, just a line after line after line after line, and person after person with trouble. Nobody needs your gossip. Nobody needs your long tongue criticism. Nobody needs your scandalizing. Everybody needs encouragement, because everybody's having a tough time. I wonder where I'd be without Proctor Boyd, that high school teacher that taught me and said to me when I was a poor little high school boy, poor as could be. My mother asked him if he'd be my father image, and Proctor Boyd, my Sunday school teacher, became that. I wonder where I'd be if Proctor Boyd hadn't said to me over and over again, Jack, you can be a preacher someday. You can be a preacher someday. You can be a preacher someday. Years ago, when I was a young preacher, pastoring out little country church, had a church at the edge of town, had a custodian named Mr. Roper. We had about 100 people in church at the time. Mr. Roper was the custodian, and it took him to clean one pew 3 months, I think it was. Much like the custodians we have here now. And one day we were sitting talking. It's what we usually did. And he said to me, he said, Brother Jack, that's what they used to call me when I was a young man, Brother Jack, instead of preacher, Brother Hiles. Brother Jack, he said, Brother Jack, we won't get to keep you very long here. And I said, oh, yes, Mr. Roper, I'll be here the rest of my life. He said, no, Brother Jack, we won't keep you very long here. And I said, what are you saying? He said, God's got some big city church somewhere someday for you. And I said, no, he hasn't either. I don't want to leave here. I want to stay here the rest of my life. He said, Brother Jack, I know better than that. He said, God's got some big city church. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as a self-made man. Every single one of us is just a combination of what folks have made us as they've encouraged us through the years. I wonder what I'd have done without Tommy and Faye Ford down in East Texas. I wonder what I'd have done without that one-legged deacon, L.G. Eve Sr. I wonder what I'd have done without you people here in the last year and a half. I know what it is to be kept going by your people. And I know what it is to want to keep my people going. And I come to you this morning and say, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Little lady without a husband, he left you for another woman. Yes, you can rear those kids. Oh, yes, yes, you can. You can. Yes, sir, you unemployed, you can find a job. You can. Oh, yes. Yes, you can. You can rear your family. Yeah, you that are weak this morning and weary and tired, oh, you can keep going. Yes, yes, you can keep going. Yes, you can. You know why I know you can? Because you tell me I can. And if I can, I know you can. Let's encourage each other. You encourage me, I'll encourage you. Look at me. You encourage him. I'll encourage you. You encourage him. You encourage her. Well, you probably will. I know she'll encourage you. What she sees in you beats me. She sees an awful lot in you. I know that. But it beats me. And so this morning, may I say this in closing. Lord's Supper Day always tenders me. I love the Lord's Supper time. I looked at those men as they walked down the aisle a while ago, knowing what I was going to preach on. Always watch the deacons as they come down the aisle and remember all the things we've shared together. These buildings have been built because of these good men. grade school, a high school, a junior high school, a college, and a City Baptist, and I loved every one of them as they walked down the aisle this morning. And I thank God for the way they've encouraged me. And on Lord's Supper Day, may I thank you for every pat on the back, for every note, every time you said, "Preacher, you got to keep going." Every time you've written a little note and said, "Preacher, we need you." From my heart, may I thank you. That's why I'm still going. And I hope maybe in 31 years at Hammond, I'll be able to keep you going too. Our Heavenly Father,